I have a word to share with you today about the United States of America, about the world and its present situation, and about you and your present situation. I call this message the Jonah Nation. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah. You'll find it. It's somewhere in the Old Testament, hiding in a fish. Just after Obadiah, and just before Micah. So that helps. I want to read to you the first chapter of the book of Jonah. It's interesting. You all know this story. A man swallowed by a fish who then gets brought up 3 days later. How Jesus uses this experience to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection. He uses Jonah. When he does, he is telling us that the story is true. You might say, well, I don't believe in the story. I don't believe that that happened to Jonah. Couldn't happen. It's scientifically impossible. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus said, as it was with Jonah, who was in the depths for 3 days and three nights, so it will be with myself, he says, with the Son of Man. And he talks about his death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus validated Jonah. So all you scientists, get in line. Let's read the first chapter, shall we? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Say, ran away. And headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity?" And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Jew. I am a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. Oh Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. They got saved. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And one more verse. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Some of you might feel like you're in a fish right now. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the increased power of the Holy Spirit in these days. We thank you that you are above all things. Before the earth, even the foundations of the earth were formed, your design and plans were already established. And Lord, we thank you that you included us in them. And today we say yes to the purposes of the Lord. We ask that the word of the Lord would go forth now and bring change into our hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a few stories in the Bible that are just a focus on a short period of time, and they tell a little vignette, a little cameo story of somebody's life. Jonah is like that. The book of Ruth is like that. Esther is like that. There's many books in the Old Testament especially that give us this kind of little story. But each of them are absolutely powerful. They're packed with direction for us. They've been inscripturized, canonized. Now, this book of Jonah only has 48 verses. The whole story is told in 48 verses. And 8 of those verses are really just prayers. So in 40 verses of the Bible, the whole story of Jonah is told. Jonah was Jewish from the tribe of Zebulun. He was born in a village not too far from Nazareth or Cana, and in the region of Galilee, although from where he was, you could not see the lake. It was up a little higher in the mountain area. But that's where he was born. And he was a man called of God. He had a call of God on his life just like you do. He was called to be a prophet of the Lord, but not just a prophet, also a preacher. He was called to be an evangelist, although he did not like that calling. God spoke to him and said, Jonah, he said, the word of the Lord came to me. That's what he said. And he said, Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh, for their wickedness has come up before me. The wickedness of this city has come up before me. Go and tell them that I'm going to judge them for all of their wickedness. There are certain kinds of wickedness in the world that God will not tolerate. They are the kinds of things that bring curses on individuals, on families, and on nations. They are things like abusing little children and shedding the blood of innocent. Things like abortion are included in that. They are things that have to do with sexual perversion and sexual immorality. They have to do with abusing the disadvantaged, like orphans or widows or immigrants or the poor. All of these things you can read in Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting at verse 15. But when people commit these kinds of sins, they're in a different category. They're in a different category from a kind of sin where you just, you know, kind of take a chocolate bar when your neighbor wasn't looking. Now, sin is sin, and it's falling short of the glory of God. And what you sow, you're going to reap. But there are certain sins You can read about that. You say, well, that's just Old Testament. No, it's not. Just read it in John's Gospel, now the first epistle of John, chapter 5, in verse 16. It says there's two kinds of sins. One that will lead to death and one that will not lead to death. So, this is Bible. And Jonah runs from God. God says, go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital city of the enemy of Israel at this time. We're talking about a time period about 700 to 800 years before Christ. 1,000 years before Christ, King David lived. And at that time, the Philistines were the enemies of Israel. But at this time, it was the Assyrians. We might know them as the Babylonians. They're today the people of Iraq. And their capital city at the time was Nineveh. It had 120,000 people. It is known in the scriptures, you can see it in the second verse, the great city of Nineveh. It was a cosmopolitan, financially lucrative, but highly demonic place of abuse and corruption, murder, and all kinds of ungodly demonic behavior. And the cry of the innocents went up to the heart of God. And God said to his servant Jonah, go and tell them the judgments of God are coming. But Jonah ran away from God. Now, you know the story. He goes into a ship, and I'm going to kind of unfold it for you, but just as an overview, they realize he's the one who's at fault for the storm that God sent. And then they throw him overboard. A big fish comes and swallows him. 3 days later, the fish vomits. And he comes out on the beach with dippity-doo hairstyle. And stinking like a rotten fish market. And he has been in the dark place and he's gone down to the depths of the mountain. And then he, you know, while he was there in the pit of the big fish, he repented, cried out to God, and God pardoned him and resurrected him back to life and brought him out. By the time he got out, he had repented, judgment come, and then repentance, and then he went forth as a prophet and a preacher with a new anointing, like on fire, you better hear what I have to say, kind of. He, you know, when he went into the fish, he was already a bit eccentric, because all prophets have to be eccentric. And he was eccentric. He's, you know, he was already somewhat of a wild man, no doubt. But now he came out as an extraordinary, extrovert, wild man, don't bug me now kind of individual. And he preached with such power. He is known of all the men of God in the Bible as the preacher. Because he then preached with an extraordinary message to the 120,000 people of Nineveh, and the whole place repented. Revival came to Nineveh. He turned the place upside down, and the blessings of that revival, theologians say, lasted for up to 100 years. So God has a plan. You don't know his plan. You don't know what he wants to do with your life. And when he asks you to do something difficult, you say, that wasn't God. Get thee behind me, Satan. You say, no, 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 no. That's outside of my comfort zone. I do not want to do that. That is way too sacrificial. And God says, maybe I'll let you get away with it. Woe unto you if God lets you get away with it. You poor person, if you refuse the call of God, and then God says, okay, I'll find somebody else. That's the worst thing that could happen to you. But if what God has you to do is so important that it becomes part of his eternal purpose, then he'll not let you get away with it. He will drag you through the mud. He will break your leg. He will poke you in the eye. He will twist your arm. He'll pull your hair out. He'll give you acne. He will give you so much trouble. You will find it on the left and the right. The rain will come down upon you until you say yes. And some of you right now feel like you are in a fish. Man, it's nasty, awful, horrible. But God has a purpose for you. And it's much bigger than what you know. Now let's talk about the United States of America, and then I'm going to come back to you. I have no doubt that the United States of America is what I call God's end time nation. Just founded less than 300 years ago. And during this time, it has been growing in the purposes of God, but also the devil has been working in America. The purpose of the United States of America is to be a Christian nation. I don't mean in word only, but I mean in power and anointing. The purpose, that's one of three main things that the United States of America is focused on. One, to be a Christian nation. Most of its founders were Christian people. And most of their writings tell you that this is a Christian nation founded on Christian principles for the glory of God and in partnership with his gospel. Those are the kind of words of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and many others, especially the Adams family. So, this nation is to be a Christian nation. Secondly, this nation has been called to spread the gospel around the world. I'm not just talking about getting saved. I am talking about the gospel of the kingdom, which is setting people free from oppression, breaking the yoke of bondage, releasing care and food and sustenance to the poor, giving shelter and missions work to the nations, and also preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. This nation is called to that. As goes the church in America, so goes the church in the world. It is also called to partner with Israel. No other nation has done this like the United States of America. But God has strategically placed this end time, his end time nation, in the world to partner with Israel with protection, finances, and wait till the church rises up to be all that she is supposed to be concerning Israel. And wait till revival comes to Israel, and you're going to see redeemed Jews and redeemed Gentiles under the canopy of Messiah Jesus, becoming the one new man, anointed revival team in the world. Now that's the purpose of the United States of America. If you didn't realize that, now you should. But you see, it's like Jonah, the preacher. Jonah had a great calling on his life. And here are the four stages. There is running away. There is judgment and repentance, stage number two. There is extraordinary international proclamation. And number four is revival. That is the pattern of Jonah's experience. It is the pattern of the experience of the United States of America. That's why I call the USA the Jonah Nation. Right now, we are in stage one, moving very quickly towards stage two. Stage one in the United States of America is called running away from God. Running away from the call of God, from the destiny of God. Some of you may also be in Jonah stage one. I'll get back to that. But the United States of America is working hard to run away from God. Now, I am not talking about everybody in this nation, because there are many people who call upon the name of the Lord, who lay their lives down sacrificially to serve the Lord, and who are just so full of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Many of them are in this church, but they're all over the nation. But there are more who are running away from God. People raised in Christian homes who have said, it's not convenient for me to be a Christian. The rules and regulations are too difficult. The standards for biblical morality is old-fashioned. I do not want that. And so they run away from God. Many of them still believe in God. Do you know when Jonah was running away from God? He never stopped believing in God. He never stopped calling him my God. He never stopped being a man of God. He was just a bad man of God. He never denied the Lord. Many in the United States of America have run away and are running away from the call of God and the purpose of God and the holiness of God and the plan of God. They're running as hard as they can away from God. Many of them still say, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But they're running away from Him. You know, people can be married, still live in the same house, have no plans on getting divorced, but they're running away from each other. They can be in the same place, but disconnected. They have their own assignments, their own agendas, their own world. So you can still be a Christian and run away from God. Jonah was still a Jew. He was still a man of God and running away as fast as he could. See, Nineveh was on the far extreme eastern edge of the biblical world at that time. Nineveh is in present-day Iraq. And you have to travel about 400 miles from the western edge of Israel to get to Nineveh. You have to go to the Euphrates River. And then you have to cross over to the Tigris River and go north. For Nineveh, the ancient city of Nineveh, was there. On, you know, towards India, way out in the place today called Mosul. Do you know that the present attacks of Muslim fanatics in the land of Iraq, the ISIS group, the terrorists, have been going through Iraq and destroying every Jewish and every Christian thing they can find, including some of their own mosques that don't fit their doctrine. The tomb of Jonah is in the ancient city of Nineveh today. Archaeologists and scientists say it is legitimate. It is actually Jonah's tomb is in a mosque. In Mosul, in a place that was once a church, an Orthodox church, now a mosque. This month, Muslim radicals went into that place with sledgehammers and destroyed the tomb of Jonah. This month, in July 2014. They destroyed Jonah's tomb and the mosque and every Christian and Jewish site that they can find. And Christianity and Jews in the country are being killed by extremists of the Muslim faith. The United States is asleep in the boat, running away from the call of God. It's not just in the political realm. It's in every realm. It's with our young people. There are even Christians who are Pentecostal or charismatic or real great Baptist fundamentalists who are running away from God because they got burned by church politics. Now I'm going to step on your toes, so please stick them out so I can get a good foot. You should not back away because you are hurt. Stop it and get back onto God's program. Of course the church fails. Of course people fail. Of course you got hurt, and you got hurt really bad. Okay, now get over it. Get back on the train. Get back on the in the saddle and start to serve the Lord. You are not here to be numb. You are not here to be empty. You are not to be sidelined. That is not the call of God on your life. You're a man or woman of God called for the high call of God in Christ Jesus to do great and glorious things. You say, well, I don't know how to attach myself to people anymore and how much to give and how much to sacrifice and what I should do because I got hurt so bad. Yeah, I know that's real hard. It's very hard. But your life mission should be to find a people of God. You'll never find a perfect group, but find a people of God that you can connect with, where the government of God is, and there's a flow of the Holy Spirit among them. And attach yourself and put your hand to the plow and serve the God of Abraham. And quit running away from God. There's enough of that going on in the nation without the church people doing it too. We have it. In our universities, whole university classes running away from God and finding creative ways to prove he's not real. To finding creative ways for distractions so that they can ignore the call of God on their lives. This is where America is right now. We're running away from God on a ship going in the opposite direction from the call of God. It was going to Tarsus. You know where Tarsus is? Spain. He was going to get on a boat and go the whole length, more than 1,000 miles, in the opposite direction, the length of the Mediterranean, just because he was saying, no, I am not going to serve God. Yes, I believe in God. I know when I die, I'll go to heaven. But I am not going to serve God. So he even paid for this. He bought a ticket. Some of you are paying to run away from God. And he gets on the boat. And God sends a storm. Now, everybody on the boat is from the region, but it appears that Jonah is the only Jew on the boat. The others are from all different kinds of heathen pagan nations. And they all have some religious background. They all believe in idols and witchcraft and worshiping other gods. And they understand certain things. They know better than modern day Christians that there are curses. And when the storm comes, first thing they do is the natural things. They start to throw everything off the boat. Now, you may be doing this right now. You may be in the judgment of God and you're losing everything off the boat. Everything that you spend all that time paying for. Everything in your life being thrown off the boat. Some people's whole life's value and worth was on the boat. And the captain said, chuck it overboard or you're going to die. They threw everything off. And then they still could not get this boat to safety. And the captain says, somebody's to blame for this. And there's Jonah. They find Jonah. He's asleep. Nobody in the church could be asleep. Nobody in America could be asleep during the coming storm, during the time when the world's being torn apart and is upside down. Nobody, surely nobody would just be asleep. Do you know how deep-seated this running away from God is? People are just turning off. They're just getting into a place of social hibernation so that they can be numb to really what's happening because they don't want to engage. If I'm preaching to you, I was supposed to. So they said to Jonah, get up! What are you doing? Pray to your God. Like we're all praying to our gods. Maybe one of our gods will help us. And Jonah comes up on deck. He's got a bad hair day. But it's going to get worse. And they said, somebody here is responsible for this. There's a curse and there's a judgment. See, there's two kinds of judgments. There's a judgment that comes after you die. And you stand before God at some point in history, before Christ or God Almighty, you're going to stand and be judged for what you did with your body and your time on the earth. Some people are saying, yes, let's work out more. Actually, I thought that video idea that you mentioned where you're showing us those pictures of the young people running around worshiping God, I haven't seen that done before here in America. That would be a good workout program, wouldn't it? I'm just giving you a little help to start a new business. Any rate, it's not just that kind of working out, is it? It's your spirit coming before the Lord. So they get up there. They all know. All of these pagan people know there's a judgment of God, and somebody is to blame. It's real today. What you sow, you reap. And so they cast a lot. Jonah was not going to admit it. Just like a regular church person. He wouldn't admit it. And so he got the little straw, and they looked at him and said, what have you done? And where are you from? And who are your people? Because there are certain people who have a curse over them. There are certain nations that have curses over them. I could name a few, but just about every nation has its blessings and its curses. And just think about them. You should be able to identify them. So, where are you from? And what have you done? He says, I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the God of heaven who made the land and the sea. Now, these people had heard about the Hebrew God. They knew the God of the Jewish people, and they were frightened to death of him. Because God has a purpose for his Jewish people. And when another nation gets in the way, God will come toward them. They will either receive judgment or they will line up and acquiesce and fit into the plan of God. Because God will not stop. And that had been the history of the Jewish people. And all the nations round about feared them because of it. And these sailors and all these people on this boat, they said, oh no. So they said, well, what should we do? And he said, Jonah, he was so defeated. Now, when you run away from God, you know what? You'll get a false humility and you will become, well, you'll lose your confidence. And then you'll back up and retreat to a place that is not from God. You'll get into a malaise. And he said, what's the use? I'm to blame. Just throw me overboard. Like a suicide wish. And they said, well, let's not. And they tried to row to shore, but they couldn't. And finally they said, let's pray. Said, God, please don't hold this against us. You brought the storm. This is your servant. He told us to throw him overboard. We don't want your judgment coming on us because we shed innocent blood, but we're going to throw him overboard. That was their prayer. They threw him overboard, and God sent a huge fish. Now, does God love Jonah? Does God love America? Does God love you? Just because there's a fish doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Just because you're thrown overboard doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Just because everything is going to come apart at the seams and, so to speak, all hell will break loose, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Who else does God love? He loves the people of Nineveh. These are not Jewish people. These are people who are a combination of Phoenicians and Arabs. And they are from the land of every rock. God loves those people. These were the enemies of Israel at that time. Not a lot has changed. 120,000 of them, God said to Jonah, go and preach to them. The word of God comes to Jonah a second time. Now Jonah not only says, yes, I will go and preach, but he has an unction and a gumption and an anointing. He is so power-packed. He could touch you and you'll get an electric shock, more like a lightning bolt, like, shh, whoo. That guy's anointed. He goes into this place. He walks up and down the city for 3 days, and then he starts to preach. Well, let me tell you, this story only took 48 verses in the Bible, but it took months to happen in real life. And by the time Jonah got there, the story of Jonah was all over the place. It was the hottest news on the tabloid. Did you hear the one about this man, a prophet of the Lord, who was running away from God? He got on a boat out into the Mediterranean, and then a storm came, and they threw him overboard, and the waves were slapping up over the side of the boat, and all of a sudden a big fish jumps out of the water and swallows him. Something like a whale shark. Had to be a big one. And 3 days later, they'd say he's up on the beach. Now he's made 400-mile journey to Nineveh with fire in his eyes. As soon as he comes into town, it's like a gunslinger just arrived in Dodge. Wyatt Earp has just shown up. Oh, no! And he comes walking into town. He is so ticked. He is so, I am not going to go out and have a coffee with you. Says, no, we cannot talk about this. Judgment is coming on Nineveh because the sin of this place is over the top. The abuse of your little children. It's enough. Well, these people, they were already frightened to death when they saw him walking into the city. Now he starts to preach like this. How long will it take for God to bring a revival? He can do it in 3 days from now. But it will come because the world is cracking apart. Because 1,000 asteroids are coming in space toward us. Because World War III just began. It will happen in a moment of time out of the belly of a great fish, out of a raging sea of turmoil and trouble. It shouldn't have to be this way. You understand that Jonah didn't have to go on the boat, and he didn't have to get thrown overboard, and he didn't have to end up in the belly of a fish. But he was running away from God. America is running away from God. What do you think will happen? It will get so bad. But God loves you. He has a plan. And when judgment comes to America, repentance will follow. And out of that will come the most powerful preachers that the world has ever known. Men and women alike. And they will partner with the most powerful preachers of the world in Israel. And the one new man will step up to the plate and hit a home run. And then there will be such anointed international proclamation and preaching. There will not be a nation or a place that will be able to hold back the river of God and the wind of the Holy Spirit and the power that God will bring. There is a time coming when revival will hit every nation of the world. That's Bible. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 says, and there before me was a multitude that no one could count from every nation and people and tongue. Can we put that up there, please? That's Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And there was another multitude, a crowd that nobody could number, from every nation and people and tongue standing before the throne of God. How many people are in that group? No one can count them. Maybe there's a billion. Where do they come from? From every. Everyone say every. Every nation and tribe and people and language. And they're standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And wearing white robes. Go down to verse 13, please. Because John says, where did these come from? They're saved and they're before God. And in verse 13, one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? The next verse, verse 14. Sir, you know, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Such a revival in the time of the great tribulation, like the world has never known and never seen. Now let me close this sermon. Some of you have a powerful call of God on your life. I know we have children. Especially when you have little children, that's your number one priority. You have families. You have to take care of each other. But all the time, there's something else. There's a call of God to you to rise up and to serve the Lord with excellence. God will not give you the second half of the prophecy until you're well into the fulfillment of the first half of the prophecy. And do not go back to a comfortable place. But serve the Lord with everything you've got in the first half of the prophecy that he's given you, what he puts in front of you. And then the door will open for the next part. This has nothing to do with your age. Your age is not a limiting factor. Most heroes in the Bible are senior citizens. You don't have to be married. There's no mention of that with Jonah. And I'm sure if he was, his wife would not have liked to have been with him. I don't think he would have left for Tarshish without her if he was a married man. He's a single man. Some of you are called to be single. Not most of you, thank God. Even children are called into the power of God in these days. Now we're in stage one, running away from God in America. Not everybody, and it certainly shouldn't be you. There's an overlap here. You might already be anointed to preach the gospel with extraordinary international anointing. You may already be seeing revival. May it be so. But as a nation, we're in stage one. We're a Jonah nation. The nation is right thick in the middle of running away from God. Pray. Do you know why God didn't let Jonah get away with it? Probably because of his mother. Or his grandmother. Who said, "Oh God, don't let my little Jonah just be a Jonah. I want him to be such a man of God." She prayed and she prayed and she prayed. I'm just guessing. But God doesn't do anything unless people pray. But he tells us this. For the nation of Israel, and it applies to every nation, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sin, and heal their land. Now you have a bonus because you're in the United States of America. This is the end time nation. In the purposes of God, God will make sure the USA fulfills its destiny. It will go through these stages: running away, judgment and repentance, extraordinary ministers of the gospel, and revival, international revival. It will go through those stages. I promise you, it will go through those stages. So you've got a head start. You already know the end. You already know how the story ends. So now get in step with God. Take the grumpiness off. Smile in the midst of trouble. And go for it with everything you've got. The devil will try to stop you. But God will cover you. when Jonah went to Nineveh, the whole city was afraid of him. He was not afraid. They were the enemies of Israel. He was not afraid of them. Now, he was before, but now he was not afraid of them. But they were all afraid of him. And the power of God came to them. The whole place got saved. I'd say it is the greatest, it was the greatest quick revival in history at any time, at any season up to this point. It was even a greater, quicker revival than the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The whole city, it says. The kings and the paupers gave their life to God. It's no wonder that God loved Jonah and that God, that Jesus said, as it was with Jonah, so it will be with me. Now, what about you? Don't look down on Jonah. No. He's God's man. He just fell asleep in a boat. Maybe you've fallen asleep in a boat. It's time now for this nation to wake up. And it's time for many individuals to wake up. Would you stand to your feet? Wind of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you now. Hold your hands out in front of you, will you? Oh, Lord, we lift up the United States of America. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need revival. Whatever it takes, we ask you to turn this ship around. Whatever it takes, Lord, we ask you to break open the foundations of the deep and release your anointing and your power. Whatever it takes, Lord, we ask that your eternal purpose and destiny for this nation of America to come to pass. Let the anointing of God flow in our streets. Let the power of God come to this place. And Lord, for our own lives, we dedicate ourselves to you today. Would you pray this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I dedicate myself to you for the purpose of God and for the call of God on my life. Whatever it takes, I will serve you with my whole heart. Show me what to do, and I will step up and do it. You are my God. I belong to you. And I go forward now to fulfill my destiny in you. I believe this. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.